This is the old Trailblazer broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Missions, where the voice of truth goes out on broadcast every Sunday. And also, the old Trailblazer goes out on a weekly, daily broadcast every week over many, many stations across this nation. And I wish you would write me, and I'll send you a log of all these stations. If you're interested in the old Trailblazer broadcast, like many are, I'll send you a log. You can tell maybe a station right around the corner from you and you don't know about it. And also, I wish you would, if you're interested in the old Trailblazer, holler back across the back fence and say, the old Trailblazer's coming on, folks. And if you would, I appreciate that. But we're bringing you, have been bringing you these messages on the Book of Revelations for many, many months now. In the last few studies, we've looked there at the fall of Babylon, the church praising the Lord, the marriage of the Lamb, the battle of Armageddon, the doom of Satan. We looked at that, saw that in our last study. But today, tonight, we're going to begin a study now on the first resurrection. Oh, how it ought to whet your appetite to think about the first resurrection. We come now to one of the richest and most magnificent sections of the Book of Revelation. That is John's picture, or John's vision of the first revelation over which the second death has no power. In Revelation 19:11, we saw heaven open and the Lord of hosts and King of kings with his risen, glorified saints coming forth to meet the beast, the Antichrist, and his confederated kings with their armies in a terrific battle, the result of which was the casting of the beast and the false prophet alive into the final hell, which is the lake of fire and brimstone, and then the slaying of the armies with the sword. Then in the first three verses of chapter 20, we saw a lone angel sent to arrest, handcuffed with chains to bind and lock up old Satan in the bottomless pit. This brings us to the revelation now of the first resurrection and the beginning of the kingdom age. Now, with your Bibles in hand, let's turn to Revelation 20 and begin reading there in the fourth verse. Excuse me. Let's begin reading there in the fourth verse. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and the judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither had his image, neither had received a mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. When Christ comes riding the white horse from the open heaven with his armies following after him, his first work will be to clear the field of all opposition. Then he does first by casting alive into the lake of fire the beast and the false prophet, giving orders to bind Satan and seal him in the bottomless pit. Then he slays the armies of the beast with the sword of his mouth, which is the sword of judgment. Last of all, he brings before him the nations of judgment, placing the sheep nations on his right hand and the goat nations on his left, and passes judgment upon them in the light of their treatment of his people, the Jews. Thus he puts down all opposition and rebellion. Then he takes over the kingdoms of the world, making them his kingdom, and he begins to rule over the kingdom. Then he begins to rule this world with a rod of discipline, according to Psalm 2:5-12, the 11th chapter of Isaiah, and Isaiah 25:31. I wish you'd take time out and read these passages carefully, before we go into another study, Christ becomes the supreme ruler and enforces his laws with justice and judgment. Just as his armies follow him in victory over the enemy and ride through the blood of his foes up to the horse's bridle, they shall reign with him. This is clearly set forth in the fourth verse of this 20th chapter, where John says, "I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given them." Throughout God's word, we find that it speaks of the saints ruling and reigning with Christ. This is one of the highest honors God confers upon his children, that they rule or shall rule and reign with him. In Matthew 19:28, Jesus said unto his children, he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." This means that when the kingdom comes, these 12 apostles shall sit on 12 thrones, helping Christ rule the world. Then in Revelation 2:26, we saw again, "And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation." Now, isn't this great, my friend? Isn't this gracious? "And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter, shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father." Now, let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6:2. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 and 3. Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? Oh, listen, my friend. "And if the world shall be judged by you, are ye unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Know ye not that ye shall judge the angels? How much more things that pertain to this life?" Now let's turn to Daniel 7, verse 26. "But the judgment shall sit, and they shall take away his dominion, to commune and to destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion, and the greatest of the kingdoms under the whole heaven, shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him." Now let's turn to Revelation 3:21. Listen again to God's word. Old Dr. Copeland used to be here with us a long time ago, great old saint, great old pastor. He said, "Now, get that. Get that now." He'd read God's word, and he said, "Now, get that." So I tell you, let's turn to Revelation 3:21, and you get it. "To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne." Now let's turn to Revelation 12:5 and read there. "And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron." This great truth is also set forth in the message of the angel to Mary, the mother of Christ, in these words, Luke 1:32. "He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then in Luke 22:28 is set forth a believer's relationship with Christ in his earthly reign. "Ye are they which have continued with me in temptations, and I appoint you a kingdom, as my Father has appointed unto me, that ye may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel." Then the scripture sets forth this great truth: "If we suffer, we shall reign with him." 2 Timothy 2:12. Yes, the resurrected saints will be granted the great privilege of reigning with the Lord Jesus Christ during his 1,000 years reign on earth. As Psalms 149 puts it, "To execute upon them the judgment written, this honor shall all his saints have." That is, the honor of ruling and reigning with Christ on earth. Isn't that going to be a glorious time, my friend? We mentioned in a study or two back how we look forward to the soon coming of the Lord, and I believe he's coming soon. But here it says what shall happen after the 1,000-year reign. Yes, John said he saw thrones, which meant seats of authority. These are not empty seats, for he says they sat upon them, and judgment was given them, which means the act or power of judging, including the forming of sentences and execution of the same. My friend, can you conceive of this great truth that we who are now living, born-again believers, children of God, and those who have died in Christ throughout all ages, shall one day be raised from the dead or be translated like unto our risen Lord? Now, you can chaff under the collar if you want to, deny the resurrection if you want to, deny that the Lord is coming back if you want to. And I just tell you, often I just tell you, go to hell for your trouble. Now, you say I'm cruel and I'm mean and I'm hateful. No, I'm not. But, my friend, I'm tired. I'm tired of folks throwing off on the Lord. I'm tired of folks ridiculing my blessed Lord, calling him an imposter like they did there when he was on this earth, calling him a wine bibber, and all of the little jokes that you see now alluding to God. I saw a billboard the other day, great large billboard on the interstate highway, and it had a kind of looked like someone was speaking. It said, "Don't make me come down there," and then it was signed God on the bottom. Now, my friend, That's blasphemy if it ever was such a thing. And then they call God Mother Nature and the old man upstairs. Oh, my friend, listen, you better bite your tongue. You better bite your tongue before you call such a thing. My friend, God is on the throne. Our Lord is on the throne. He created everything. He created your breath in you. You just hold your breath for about 2 minutes and you'll be gone. Listen, my friend, if your heart skips 3 beats, you'll be in hell. Don't make fun of God. Don't do that. Don't make fun of God's people. No, sir. You better ask the Lord to give you an insight into what the Lord is, who the Lord is, and what he stands for, that you might praise him and honor him and glorify him. And then I have to say here, many whom I know robbing God. Do you know, man, the Bible says, will a man rob God? Oh, listen, that's not my message for today. No, sir. But I do get stirred up sometimes when folks tell me what great Christians they are and how they love God. And they rob God. Don't give a frazzling penny. Don't give a blame penny unto the Lord. No. No, my friend. And then they expect to go to heaven. Miser, old miser. My friend, ask the Lord to don't let you be a miser. I'm saving for a rainy day. Well, my friend, listen. Can't you trust the Lord? Don't you trust the Lord to take? I think we ought to have common sense enough to take care of ourselves. I do too. But don't stash it away, my friend, where it'll do you no good. And I tell you folks here, if you're near death, you love the Lord, you're born again, and you feel like your time on this earth is short, don't leave your money for some ungodly child or ungodly family to squander on lust and pleasure. Leave it for the old trailblazer. Leave it here for Radio Mission. We'll put it to work. We'll put it to work here, right here in the ministry, getting out the radio broadcast. We have folks do that. That's right. Make out a will to the old trailblazer or to Radio Mission, and we put it up to when you get home to glory, we'll be working with your money. But don't let some ungodly children take it. I know. I've seen families do that, and they squabble over it and all that. Oh, but listen. I know I'm gotten off my subject, but the Lord is gracious, my friend. Blessed above all measure. Cannot measure the grace of God. Did you know you can't do that? There's no measure. It's boundless. His love is boundless, and his grace is boundless, and he's still holding out the scepter of grace. Do you know anything about the scepter of grace, where the old king was sitting on his throne, and Queen Esther walked in there with all her pretty clothes on and made up her face pretty, and held out the scepter of grace to her? If he hadn't, she'd have been killed. Couldn't approach without the scepter of grace. But you and I, we have the scepter of grace held out to us day after day, time after time. It's being held out. Would you remember the old trailblazer and pray for me? We're also the bookstore. Folks will call me about the bookstore. You can reach the bookstore at 225-664-8658. And if you would call us, we'd be glad to mail books to you. And you put them on your credit card along with your tithe and offering. Remember my mailing address, the old trailblazer, Post Office Box 6250, New Orleans, Louisiana, 70174. Goodbye. God bless you.